The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the First Cut Podcast. This is your Tuesday.
There we go.
Pod, the Genesis Invitational preview. We'll be talking about the cat himself. We'll be talking about Riv, the whole shebang, best bets, one and done. Let me bring in the stars of the show, Kyle Porter, Mark Immelman. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
I'm great. Patrick, how are you after your trip? And did the Super Bowl change the way you think about anybody that played in it?
Ooh, as a lifelong Mecole Hardman stan, it was a very big day for us. I actually received text from a few old roommates, pretty much saying validation at last for us, since we've kind of been following his career since Georgia, thinking he was going to be the next big thing wide receiver wise. And it obviously has not panned out. As for Phoenix, Mark already blamed the whole ordeal.
You're bad. It's your fault.
Maybe not a coincidence. I was there when it all hit the fan, but I've recovered from both, and I'm doing well.
Did you take the red eye back from wherever you were to the East Coast?
I took the red eye Friday night out of Phoenix. Great airport, by the way.
Rated
number one by Wall Street Journal.
Really, really good airport. Loved it.
And then got back, worked all of Saturday, pretty much slept all of Sunday to get back on the schedule, and then was on a plane last night as well.
Hey, speaking of Sky Harbor, you know what's really fun? When you do the WM Phoenix Open, and the Super Bowl happens to be in town on that Sunday evening as well. Monday morning at that place is a disaster. Yeah, I've done that one time, and that was once too many.
Brutal. Where'd the Hardman fandom come from?
Oh, just fast guy who can break the lid off a defense type of thing. And so we were all in a fantasy football league, and we all picked him kind of 16th round, eyeing for him. And finally, I mean, our moment was Sunday.
Yeah, it took until the last play of the season.
And Mecole is just a cool name to say, isn't it? Mecole.
It's very cool. You know, the thing I was struck by, Patrick, in the Super Bowl was it would be so stressful to be a kicker for one of these teams. I mean, yeah. You got 120 million people watching you. I think it's probably pretty easy to just miss a 55 yarder. Right. And these guys are just money. Like it's crazy to me how good they are from those distances.
Yeah. I mean, the record was set and then broken in the span of like a quarter for the longest field goal in Super Bowl history.
Did you see Brando tweet that the football is going too far?
I tell you what, you speak of kickers. I'm sure Buckner was a whole lot more comfortable when Mahomes got that first down, instead of having the 50-something yarder to kick from 30-something to win.
Yeah. To tie it at the end. Right. Yeah. Totally. And then the play that I've been thinking about, Patrick, is the one that they ran on fourth down in overtime, where they rolled Kelsey out with Mahomes. And it was almost like a flag football play where Mahomes could run it or throw it. And he ran it And Mark, I don't know if you, surely you were at this Masters, but I was at the Masters a couple of years ago and saw Mahomes and Kelce there. And Mahomes is a big boy. Like
he's very thick.
Yeah. Would not want to tackle.
No. Well, if I had to tackle one of the two, I guess I'd take him over Kelce.
For sure. But neither one would be fun.
Nah, Mahomes is thick and he sort of scampers around the place. He's fast. So yeah, I mean, that play was pretty clutch. It was to me emblematic of their season. And he kept on talking about it too, where it's like, you know, it was that adversity and things weren't that easy. But, you know, when the chips are down, those guys show up and they did so once again.
Hey, your Falcons hired my boy, Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator.
I know. I'm excited about that because I thought they were doing a pretty Falcons thing when they hired Raheem as the head coach. But anyway, it's turning out. So it's trending on the bright side for me right now.
Zach's a stud. He's gonna be good. Just need a quarterback now.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. You know what else is trending well is Tiger Woods' new apparel line. At least it's trending. Well or not is up to your own discretion.
True.
The cat was out there in LA, fancy schmancy event last night, debuting Sun Day. Red.
Three words, right?
His new line with TaylorMade. 15 stripes for 15 major championships. I'm not sure if that spells out Tiger somehow. All the design in there. I was trying to piece it together last night and I couldn't.
I think after the Waste Management Phoenix Open on Friday, you might have been able to find it in there somewhere.
For sure. That's a great call, Mark.
That's fair. And I think the big thing from this is, why is it three words? And per the website, let me read it out for you guys. The word mark appears as three words for a simple reason. There is a special power in threes. I didn't know that personally. Calling it Sun Day Red was a fun way for us to create something completely different and unexpected. You got that right. Born from a love of being outside in the sun, the joy of playing golf during the day, and a special red being the brand's power color. As soon as Sun Day Red was placed on a garment for the first time, it just looked perfect.
So I have two observations, Patrick. This is for you. First off, I'm a big deal. To me, numerology is a thing. I'm all about twos. Rory McIlroy is all about twos, incidentally, too. Pardon me, the extra two. But Sun Day Red. Is there more than just one color to the shirts? I mean, are these like Sunday blue and or Saturday blue and Friday yellow? Does it work like that or not?
I do not believe so. I believe it's just the brand is Sunday Red.
Yeah. So it's more than one color, because look, I think it's pretty cool. I like the Tiger logo. It smacks of the old Schlesinger logo. Maybe I'm thinking myself.
Mm-hmm. Nope, that's right.
Yeah, but I see that Schlesinger feeling over there with the wildcat, the tiger, or I guess that was the lynx or the cougar or something. But I had no idea that Sunday Red was three words until you filled me in, and I get the meaning behind it.
Okay, Kyle, instant reaction from you.
Well, one, I'm not smart, but I don't see the 15 stripes.
I try to count them too. I had trouble. I never really got 15. I got like 13 one time.
I got like 18
another.
Yeah. Because are you counting the white or the red? Right? Again,
you've got me so discombobulated right now. I can't see it either.
Yeah, it's I believe them. Like, I'm just going to trust them on that. I think it's cool that it's 15. I think this was a case of, listen, naming things is very, very, very difficult. It's really hard. And everything sounds stupid whenever you present it. We've talked about this with Liv, right? Where, you know, you present the Orlando Magic or the Oklahoma City Thunder and you're like, well, that's the dumbest name in the world, you know, but then you just get used to it and it becomes part of the lexicon. That having been said, this feels like a case of too many people trying too hard and basically too many people touching a thing. And it's like, well, we got to, we got to make it three words and we got to split the first word and we got to do 15 stripes. And I think you could have just made this a lot less complicated. Like, why not just the almost like I get that the there's probably rights to the what's the tiger head cover? Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a rights issue there. I don't know. But man, that was kind of cool, right? Like, you could do something that's kind of a facsimile of that and call it, you know, somebody texted me today, like, why not just Roar, you know, for like a tiger roar? You know, like, it feels unnecessarily complex. And I'm with Mark. I actually don't, I've seen the logo in some different contexts, and I think there are some contexts where I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. But I don't know. It just feels like they could have kept this a little bit simpler and made it. It's just not very cool to me.
Here's what I'm seeing, KP. You know, like Nike, when it began, used to have Nike written inside of the swoosh to develop or to introduce the brand. Mm-hmm. Now the swoosh stands alone. I'm sort of feeling the same thing here, where eventually Sunday Red underneath this tiger goes away. But here's what's curious to me, right? Because Tiger has 15 majors, hence the 15 stripes that I still cannot count.
Same.
But now, is he sitting in meetings going, all right, I get it, 15 stripes, but what are you guys writing me off? There's not a 16th in me. And if so, if I pull it off, do we elongate the tail just a touch more to get the 16th on there? Or, I mean, that to me, where all of a sudden I'm like, what, are we just decided that he's got the book closed on major championship wins with this logo?
Well, I think he addressed this, Patrick, didn't he?
Yeah. Per the people on the grounds, they're going to completely redo the logo and add the 16th stripe if it ever comes.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, we all learned something good.
But I don't know if he was joking. Yeah. Again, Mark, like, I feel like it's a little bit unnecessarily complex. And I can't do the three word thing, you know. And I'm somebody that created a stupid brain called Normal Sport, so like I'm not one to judge, but it just, I don't know, just do less.
What do you guys think of the crowd out there who would much prefer a silhouette, you know, a la Air Jordan from like an 05 Tiger instead, the uppercut?
I mean, I would be into it.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I guess I could go there. I'd have to see it. Right now, I don't imagine it, but yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yeah, I think it's hard because the tiger is such a, like, the actual animal is such a, there's so many things to do with it.
Yeah.
And somebody said it looks like a carcass of the Sausinger logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the skeleton of a Sausinger logo, which is not great. That's not what they're going for. So I don't know. I'm no fashionista, but neither is Tiger for that matter. So
I have to think that this it's going to go through multiple iterations, just like most logos do. I mean, this is the kicking off point, and we'll eventually have the throwback logo going on. But I also see my wife is in this sort of stuff, brand redesign and stuff, and I can see how the modern elements are built into this logo with the block lettering and the spacing and the almost the dead space between the stripes. So I sort of see it. I'd like to see them, to the question, have them both side by side, and then I could sort of go there and go, all right, this is the way I'm trending. But I do like, I've always been partial to animals and stuff.
Patrick, what do you think? You're young, you're cool. Mark and I are not young, not cool. We have kids.
I think it's going to test the theory. Whatever Tiger puts his name on is going to sell. I don't think it's going to be as easy as his past endeavors, just because, one, he's a little older, 48, obviously. He's not in the prime of his career. He's not on TV every single week. He's going to be on TV probably, what, a max of 10 times throughout the year, like between tournaments, maybe obligations, maybe the PNC and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is going to test that. I don't love it. I don't really find myself drawn to it, but like you said, with Liv, and it feels like everything is cringy. Like, no matter what you put out there first, people are just going to inevitably make fun of it. I kind of wish it was like a frontward facing tiger almost, not kind of the side thing.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'm wondering what happened to the TW logo, because they must have spent fortunes on developing that thing too. And what's that, just all of a sudden going by the wayside?
Yeah, I thought about that as well, Mark, because Tiger does own that. That does wasn't he? A Nike thing. That was my understanding.
I don't think that the TW is the best logo ever, but it was not. I think it was better than this, I guess.
The thing is, and this is to your point, Kyle, and I should have my wife around for this, but it was recognizable in the end. There'd been a lot invested into it. So if you ask any golfer, if you had to just put that logo on the screen and say, what is that? They could name it for you. So there was the brand recognizability to the thing, which made it worthwhile. Now, all of a sudden, it's just gone and we've got this, what do you call it? The carcass of the Schlesinger logo.
The skeleton of the Schlesinger skeleton.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the pricing on everything. Like Tiger said, no one is doing cashmere hoodies, even though I'm pretty sure everyone's doing cashmere hoodies right now. I think the
wasn't Nike doing cashmere hoodies?
Yeah, like Rory's been wearing cashmere hoodies. And he goes, no one's doing cashmere hoodies right now. The shoes are another interesting aspect. I know Josh just had it up where I think they want to get them out to him by the Masters. I think they poached a couple people from Under Armour shoe department as well. It kind of looks like, honestly, like a TaylorMade driver. It took some inspiration from that almost, from that one and from the pictures from Riviera today. So
yeah, it just one thing that I noticed in the, I don't know if we have any pictures from Riv today, but the pants don't look good. The pants look like Dockers that say Sunday Red. Which is not what you're going for.
No. No. Okay. I think that's enough about what Tiger is wearing. We should probably get into how Tiger is going to play this week. But first, let's hear a word from our partners.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we are back. Riv, baby. Potentially the stop of the season, some are saying. A great tournament this week. We got a 70-man field, a cut in a signature event, which is a rarity these days. Only 3 of those all season. Top 70 will be cut to the top 50, and those within 10 strokes of the leader. 10 out of the top 11 in the field. Riviera is obviously a fantastic course. Tiger Woods, let's start with him. We haven't seen him since the PNC. He played in the Hero World Challenge, finished 18th there, I think. Flashed some good, flashed some bad. This is kind of where he returned last year. KP, any thoughts or kind of what are your expectations for the cat this week?
Yeah, I mean, Look, he made the cut last year in a much bigger field. I think doing so again this year would be I think that's sort of the litmus test, right? It's like, okay, where's the game at? He's obviously not going to win. It would be shocking if he got even into semi contention, but he can make the cut. You know, you like you said, 20 missed the cut. So you got to play pretty poorly to miss it. And I think the shocking part, Patrick, is just he looks, and we talked about this at Hero. He looks physically fit. He looks physically healthy in a way that you maybe wouldn't have said in past years, even when he played decently. So I think that's an encouraging sign. So I think it's I'm very much in the camp of if he makes the cut, that's good. If he misses it, that's not great. If only because he doesn't get two more rounds of reps before the Masters.
Yeah. And Mark, are you looking for anything in particular in Tiger's game this week to suggest he might be in a better spot with it as opposed to comebacks past or more recently?
Well, not necessarily with his game proper, because as far as I've been concerned, I feel like the golf swing has been pretty functional. I feel like he's had all the shots he needed to hit. He's had adequate club head speed off the tee. I mean, he flies the thing a decent distance still. And he's spent so much time around the green in the back garden there and back home that the short game is very, very sharp. And he's had a number of shots I've seen him hit when we have watched him play, like at the Hero, for argument's sake. I mean, he's got the high soft shot. He's got the spinner. He's got the low bump shot. And he's still the guy, kind of the old school guy, that's not averse to just pulling the 8-iron or the 7-iron and bumping some sort of shot into the ground and getting it on the ground. Although you'll see less of that at Riviera, given the Kikuyu grass and the fact that it's just so spiny and grabs balls. But to me, it's just always about what the leg is like underneath him. And I'm keen to see him play because all I've seen is on TV. But what I have seen so far is has looked promising. So I'm keen to see when I get there Friday morning what he actually looks like in person. I'm going to make a point of going to watch him play because I've long maintained that if he can walk golf courses, then I feel like he can still be relevant, especially at a place like Riviera where you don't get away from par very much. And come Sunday afternoon, when you get that little fog rolling in a little bit and the cold air blows off the Pacific, that closing stretch of holes is brutal, man. If you go like 14 through 17, even 18. And so, you know, if the score stays around par and he's healthy enough to walk and he's got the shots and stuff, I'm not saying he's going to win, but just like last year, we can see him playing. What I would love to see, because I remember last year in the show, I had Patrick Cantlay's group and we were going down 12 and Colt Nost was on Tiger's group, which was going down 15. And it's not often that I've ever been at events when Tiger Woods was teeing off 10 and finishing on the ninth hole kind of thing. But I'm sort of hopeful, given, well, again, what I've seen on TV, and that's not the ultimate litmus test, but it's looked promising. So I'm keen to see where he really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one big thing for me and Tiger kind of post-2022 is his range of outcomes in his rounds have been wide. You look at this tournament from a season ago, he has a couple rounds, I think, opened with 69, third round 67, but his bad rounds were 3-over, 4-over. I would love to see Tiger like scratch and claw like that bad round instead of 3-over be like even par, 1-over, something like that.
But you see, that's the thing. That to me is where the leg comes in, because you don't mysteriously lose your golf swing or your putting touch. But when you start to, I have to deal with pain, and then perhaps you don't have the legs firing underneath you like they should because the golf swing's built out of the ground. You know, that's when you start to lose control of balls, and we would see him doing that. But again, I mean, he's massively strong in his upper body. And the evolution of the golf swing, you know, as a young guy, when he showed up, he was 15, he had these scrawny legs that would snap out from underneath him and create all the speed. But now he's just a big, strong guy, and he almost grips the ground with his feet and rotates really hard with his chest. So if the leg's there and better, like I think it looks like, I feel like he can turn those bad days, that big outlier, back to something where you stay competitive on that bad day.
Mm-hmm. Real quick. Sorry. Were you done, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Real quick, trivia question for both of you guys. Do you know when Tiger's last top 10 on the PGA Tour was? Without looking it up.
The Zozo Championship.
Okay, Mark, you got a guess?
No.
It was close to Zozo. It was right after that. It was the 20... Wait, I might have this wrong now. In my head, you can look this up, Producer Josh. I think it was the 2020 Farmers Insurance Open.
Oh, when he... that was Kobe week?
That was Kobe week, yeah.
That was pre-COVID and Kobe week.
That was Kobe week. I remember being there.
Isn't that crazy? Like that... And part of this is because of COVID. That feels like it was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes when we talk about Tiger being, and Mark hit on it like really well in terms of the leg stuff, we talk about him being competitive. 2019 might as well be a different career in terms of what he, and 2020 even, in terms of where he's at physically right now. It's just, it's not that close in terms of, or it's not that far in terms of years, but in terms of the way he carries himself, competes, plays, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's almost a mindset change for these guys too, because look, they're all athletes, and Tiger was sort of the athlete who turned the modern game.
Yeah.
You know, prior to him, I would say there was probably Gary Player was the guy who did that prior. So Tiger was this athlete who was doing these workouts and doing all this crazy stuff, and he spurned a generation, and everything was built on athleticism and speed. You know, he was the original speed guy, and turned that into an advantage. But then everyone, injury or not, gets to an age where you start having to play some small ball, to do a baseball analogy. You know, you're not the home run hitter anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he's gone through that evolution, and all the while he's dealing with multiple back surgeries, knees, this ankle. And so it's almost hastened the thing along, and it's been cool to watch how he's almost reinvented himself. And that's why I'm happy to see him back, because look, he is the ultimate hands guy, and he talks about it too. He's like, look, my leg might be broken underneath me, but I've still got the Tiger hands kind of thing. So if he's got the leg as a foundation, he's still got the stuff, and he can still play the game. So it's all a function, really, to me, of the leg still.
Okay. Over under finishing position 41 and a half this week for Tiger Woods.
Under.
So closer to first?
Is under? Yeah.
It's a good number. I'll say over.
You know what? I would almost like to revisit after hearing you say that, because Tiger's record at Riviera is not so great, surprising, yeah, being a Southern California guy. But I just feel like, there's going to be a different hype. You know, it's going to be like Tiger's back, and the crowd's almost going to carry him like they have him in years past. So I don't know. I mean, I'm going to stick with over.
But for me, Mark, it's almost more of a function of it's a good field, right? You look at the quality of the field in terms of guys that are hot, guys that have been playing really good golf, and obviously he's more accomplished than everybody in the field. But it's just, somebody like a Nick Taylor, it's really hard to beat right now, right? And so I just think that without having the reps, what did Tiger finish at Hero? Like 18?
18 of how many?
So he beat two guys. So yeah, that'd be it. I think like right in that 40 range is the right over under for him going into this week.
I'm going to stick with under 39.
I'll say 43.
big spender. I'm gonna go over as well, just based on the Riv record. But let's talk about some of those guys, Kyle. Some of those guys who are near the top of their game. Some of them who are even struggling a little bit, right? Victor Hovland, for example, took last week off to work on his swing. Rory McIlroy had a very, I think, just odd week at Pebble Beach from that start to the finish. And then you have someone like Scottie Scheffler who continues just to hit the absolute cover off the golf ball. I know we've gone through the string of long shot after long shot on the PGA Tour, but you would think at a place like Riviera, one of those top 10 players in the world is finally going to come through.
I mean, you would think, but we keep thinking that and it keeps not happening, right? Now, to your point, this is only the it's the third signature event. It's only the second with like kind of the full Rory, everybody's playing type crowd. You know, Century didn't have Rory, didn't have JT. They missed it for very different reasons. But yeah, I mean, Riviera is a place that I mean, the list of winners there is
who's who
is outrageous, right? It's Rom, Homa, Bubba, DJ, Phil,
Holmes.
I was thinking about like Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan. And,
sorry, okay. I was thinking James Hahn, JB Holmes.
Yeah, that's true. And there was a John Merrick in there.
He went to school right around the corner though, at UCLA.
I think
there's a real home course advantage. But to your point, you listen to all of the lion's share of those. I think if you look at the last two in Rahm and Joaquin Niemann, they sort of give the blueprint for how to play the place. You hit the ball in the fairway off the tee and long, preferably, and then you're a dynamite iron player because the greens are small. If you miss greens, the bunkering around this place was like, it looked like God just looked down from heaven and just said, yes, that's the perfect place for a bunker. And it creeps into the target and you can hit a good shot that just comes up on the wrong spot and then you're struggling. So driving the fairway as far as possible, and the fairways are slivers. I mean, they're narrow. And then you hit good irons and you're on your way. And Rahm and Joaquin are those guys.
John Merrick beat Charlie Belgian in a playoff in 2013. That was my first year to cover golf for CBS Sports. I was like, I thought Riviera was good. And it was just a riveting playoff that nobody can forget.
What about the what year did Bill Haas beat Phil and Keegan?
2012, I think.
Okay. That was a good one. But do we have any probably no concerns about Rory or Hovland, or I mean even someone like Max Homa, who you thought he was playing well at the Farmers, but these last 2 weeks have been kind of iffy.
I just need more. I need a longer window to look at, right? I think it's so unfair to look at like two tournaments or even four tournaments really and say like, hey, this guy's falling off. Or the, I mean, you can start to see a trend that way, right? But
like Ricky.
Yeah, that's longer though, right? That's 3 or 4 months of, you know, Ricky's not playing very well. But I think the fair window, Patrick, is if you look from January, like when we get to the Masters, like when we get done with San Antonio and we get to Masters week, you have a body of work from January to April that you can say, hey, this is kind of what this guy's been for the last 3 or 4 months. I think it's hard to do that in the middle of, you know, a new season, the West Coast swing, all that stuff.
Yes. And then you add to that the places that are played. And remember, we're on Poania grass. And if you talk to these guys,
yeah,
it flummoxes most of them. It's really only the California boys that know how to deal with the thing because Poania is an attitude. And then you look at the events like I had a conversation with Rory Saturday evening in Pebble Beach, and he was in really good spirits despite what had happened. But there we had an event that was ruined by weather. Of course, you've got Phoenix where weather had a big say-so. And then Torrey Pines in San Diego, there was no weather, but that's just a brutal golf course where if you missed the fairway, you were pitching back into play. So in as much as what these are great events on awesome golf courses, I don't think they were a real perfect canvas for these guys to show off all of their skill. So I'm not concerned about them not having played well. I think when we start to get to Florida and you see places like Bay Hill and the TPC Sawgrass and such show up, then you'll see them show. So right now I'm not concerned. I would expect this for Homa and Rory and them to play better this week, but still you put them on the Bermuda stuff and then you'll start to see them shine.
Patrick, is there anybody that's trending one way or the other that is surprising you right now that you're like, huh, that's something to watch out for going to the Masters?
Going into the Masters, I mean, I think someone like an Adam Scott in the way he's playing right now, we touched on it a little bit last week, just he doesn't really play a ton, certainly not as much as he used to, but he's hitting the ball like out of this world. I followed his group. I think he was with JT and Cam Young the first 2 days there in Phoenix. And I mean, you just had three fantastic ball strikers. And
yeah,
seeing him in person was a lot of fun to watch. And you think about Augusta, you think about this week too. I think Adam Scott could be, you know, maybe he could threaten for a second green jacket here in a couple months. I don't think that would be the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've watched Scotty since he was a kid. But I had him a few times last year, I remember, and Quail Hollow was one of them in the final round. And he hit some drives where I joked with him on the one hole. I'm like, dude, really? And he sort of goes, well, I'm eating my Wheaties kind of thing, as he was joking. But you're right. He is swinging awfully freely. There's no hold back. He knows where the golf ball's going. Most importantly, he's putting. And then, so to your question, Kyle, regarding the putting, even though he missed a few coming down the stretch last week, I cannot turn my eyes away from Scottie Scheffler right now.
Mm-hmm.
The way the guy strikes it, and now he's making a few putts. Goodness gracious me, when he finds a little momentum, it could get nasty for the competition.
I think my two are JT from the positive. He's been good for a couple of months now. We've talked about this. He's just hitting it a lot better. Now, to be fair, like he started off last the West Coast swing last year, he was not bad. It didn't get bad really until the major season. He missed the cut at the Masters, shot in the 80s at both the Opens. So I think I'm encouraged by his trend, but not, and I'm mostly bought in, but I think there's still a little bit up in the air there. And then Zalatoris, I think, is interesting. And again, I think you can reserve judgment, especially on him, but on all these guys until you get to April and start to say, okay, what direction is this going in? But he just hasn't, he's been pretty un-Zalatoris like for the first two or three events that he's played in. So not labeling him yet, but just keeping an eye on it, monitoring.
I will say this. Trying to think of the event. Pebble Beach, maybe. I watched him hit some. I made a point because, again, this is a guy coming back from back surgery. And he was freaking flushing. I mean, he's always hit it well, but the ball flight was lower. It was really penetrating. It was coming easy. Oh, no, I tell you what, it was on the range at San Diego. And I just looked at him and I sort of smiled. And he gave me that knowing, like, yeah, it's good. So what concerns I had about Will Zalatoris kind of flew out the window. But again, to be out for that long, it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I think there's not a recency bias, but these guys playing a lot is a good thing. So along those lines too, I'd go for Rory, who's now signing up for extra events, because he didn't look phased whatsoever when I talked to him, despite the misstep at Pebble Beach and whatever rounds that was toward the end.
I think both of those guys, and especially Zalatoris, they just outperform their normal play when they're at majors so much that even in April, if Zalatoris is play, let's say he's got like one top 10 and you're like, okay, you know, but then he gets to the majors, you're like, I still am pretty optimistic just because he's always outperformed what his traditional play has been in the regular season at major championships.
Yeah. I think on the downturn, I would love to see something from Ricky sooner rather than later. Just like since the win, it hasn't been fantastic. Let's just say that. I think Data Golf, I was checking out his chart today. I think they have him outside the top 100. And it was just like the stock market crash, Black Monday, pretty much. Sunday red, Black Monday.
How about this? I don't know where I can look it up for you in a second, but last 20 rounds of everybody in the field at Riviera, Patrick, he's last in ball striking.
Mm.
Behind Ben Griffin, behind Matt Kuchar, behind Seamus Power, behind JJ Spahn, behind Brian Harman, Lee Hodges, Alex Smalley, Brendan Todd. It's not great.
It is not. So he's the one guy, and we talk about Poana Grass, California guy. He's putted well on it before. And yeah, I mean, the irons were all right, and then the last few weeks. So I know he put a new driver in the bag at Pebble Beach, one of the new Cobras. He said he really liked it, and he got off to a nice start there at Spyglass. But yeah, it just hasn't been good.
He's 102 on Data Golf, which is tough. And now I will say a lot of his struggles, Patrick, at least so far this year, have been putting, which I don't, you know, that's kind of whatever to me. Like it doesn't, I don't care that much. One, because he's a good putter, and two, because that's so volatile week to week. But the tee to green, like especially the driver, you're like, I don't know. It was so locked in last year that you felt like, okay, we've kind of reached a like we've re-reached the Ricky baseline of being like that kind of top 20, top 25 type guy. And he just has fallen off after the win. And I think that was, to me, that was unexpected.
Hey, Patrick, just one more. You speak of guys that are kind of downturning a little bit. I've been curious as to Sung JM, because ordinarily this guy is so reliable. In the last few finishes, I mean, he's gone tied for 66th in the last two events. He had the barn burners to start, and he was part of the storyline there in the Century. But since then, it's gotten progressively worse. And this is a guy who, at a place like Riviera, you would think, okay, he's for real because of how reliable and how consistent he is. But it's been some strange misses. I mean, I saw him last week from a decent lie in the fairway, miss a greenside bunker to the right, a right greenside bunker. And so it was wild for him with an iron in hand. So I have my eyes peaked, my ears and eyes peaked to Sung JM right now. I'm unsure about what's going on there.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And he typically pops up early part of the Florida swing too. So definitely a name to keep an eye on. We will mention a few more of these names. Best bets, one and done for the Genesis Invitational coming up next. But first, we got to hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back. My face is getting darker. There are no ceiling lights in this entire place where I am. It could be a prison.
Where are you?
Let's look.
I can't say, Kyle. I'm in Delray Beach, Florida. I'm going south for the winter.
It's about to be spring, boss.
Yeah, or we've got like 20 days left.
Well, I'm checking out the back end of the tournament, formerly known as the Honda, formerly known as the Palm Beach Classic, now known as the Cognizant Classic, at the end of the month, and have some business and personal things to attend to.
I'm going to be down there for PGA Tour Live, so we'll connect.
Yeah, I'm only going Monday and Tuesday. Will you be there?
Hoagie. I'll get there Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm out Wednesday. Maybe I'll see you at the airport.
International man of mystery, I see you.
For sure, he is. Was there ever a... that's a good trivia question. Was there ever a winner of the Palm Beach Classic?
I think... I don't know. I
no
don't
winners.
Think, maybe the friends we made along the way.
There you go. For sure.
We're the true winners. All right. Let's get into our betting picks. For those new around here, producer Josh and his fat wallet gives us $50 for a matchup, $34 for a finishing position, and $10 for a pair of outrights. We'll start with the matchups. And let's start with you, Mark. You got a couple guys who have played this course pretty well in the past.
I have. And both of them are not slumping, but they haven't been at their best. Cantlay, Patrick Cantlay, that is, has had a tough time of it on Sundays, and Victor just hasn't been at his ball striking best. He looked really out of sorts, I thought, at Pebble Beach in the AT&T event. So I'm taking Cantlay, who's basically playing around the corner from where he went to college, over Victor plus 105.
I like it. I've been told Cantlay has this one circled on his calendar. He's been gearing up for it practice-wise, so I like that pick. Meanwhile, KP, you got a couple runner-ups from the early season. Who you got?
Yeah, this one was – I really struggled with these matchups. I couldn't – I kind of went back and forth on a couple of them. I landed on Nicolai Højgaard over Keegan Bradley, mostly because this is a place where a little like Augusta, you can miss off the tee, and it doesn't hurt you a ton as long as you're hitting your irons well. And Højgaard is just so long off the tee, and he's been so good in terms of gaining strokes off the tee so far this year because of his length that I think he's going to have I think he's going to be in some interesting spots on this golf course. And I don't know, it'll depend on putting, but I've got him over Keegan Bradley.
I like it. Meanwhile, I'm kind of following the same path that that Mark is, picking two guys who have played this golf course well. I'm going Colin Morikawa minus 110 over Max Homa. Max hasn't been great past couple starts. I know he was a fantastic putter last year statistically. The putter's kind of struggling a little bit, and the driver hasn't been great either. Morikawa's played here great. I know Homa has as well, but I like where the ball striking is, and his short game tends to pop at Riv, which I think will be big for him. So that is Colin Morikawa minus 110 over Max Homa for me. KP's got Højgaard minus 120 over Keegan Bradley, and Mark's taken a plus money winner, Patrick Cantlay plus 105 over Vic Hovland. Finishing positions, I'm going to pick a guy who KP's picking on. I like Keegan Bradley, top 20, plus 170. Ahead of this show, I was thinking about that playoff. You know, Phil telling him to join me, has a little bit of a different meaning now. So I'm going to take Bradley. He's been hitting the ball well, played well at Pebble Beach, played well at the Sony Open as well. Small field, so top 20, plus 170. KP, you're taking a man who has won here technically before, national championship, I believe. That's who do you true. Got?
I just want to feel something this week. I've got Spieth top 20. He'll be T68 at one point. He might be T2 at one point. And we're just hoping we settle inside the T20 by Sunday afternoon.
I like it. That is minus 110 for the top 20 for Jordan Spieth. And Mark, you have got a bet on a man who's already collected a winner's check this season. Who you got?
Winner's check despite not having won. And up to that, I had a quick conversation with Jay Sewell, coach at the men's team at the University of Alabama, and he said that Nick Dunlap, winner of said event, is in a lot better spirits, so he's looking forward to this week. I'm going with homeboy, Christian Bezuidenhout, had the runner-up slash win at the American Express. He hasn't finished outside of the top 30 this season yet. His worst finish has been a tie for 28th. So I figure on Kikuyu, we have a version of that in South Africa too, as accurate as what he is inside the top 30 for plus 120, I was all over that.
I like it. So to recap, Bradley top 20 plus 170 for me. Spieth top 20 minus 110 for KP. And Mark's taking a homer pick with Bez top 30 plus 120. Outright wise, The boys have a couple of previous champions. Mark, let's kick it off with you.
Well, I'm going with the first. My first one's Max Homa, who grew up just around the corner. And his record around this place is like last 4 years. Tied for fifth, a win, tied for 10th, and then second last year. I won the one and done league last year. No asterisk, using Max Homa. So I just feel like he goes back to a place where there's a lot of home cooking, and it helps him to find his groove. And then my other outrider, Sahith Thigala, went to school just down the way at Pepperdine. He's had a couple top fives on the season already. He's playing great, lots of confidence, putting awesome. And last year at this event, I think he finished inside the top 10. So I've got two guys who are very familiar with the course and the conditions and the environment. So I'm going all California here.
I like it. Sahith, I was a little surprised he kind of faded a little bit, but overall a great week there in Phoenix. And then KP, you got a couple, you know, a Bronx bomber and a previous champion.
That'll never not be funny. Adam Scott, 28-1. He's, like you said, he's been playing great. I think other than Scotty Scheffler, he's been the best ball striker in the field over his last 20 rounds. And obviously he just crushes at Riviera. So I thought 28-1. I don't know if Adam Scott's going to win, but I thought 28-1 was a fair number there. And then Cam Young, I don't really know what to think of Cam Young. He's had sort of a weird year plus, where he'll play great 1 week, and the consistency just hasn't been there, which I think is odd because he was very consistent in 2022. So he's played very well here. Two top 20s and two starts, played good at Phoenix. So I don't know. 35 seemed like a good enough number to go with him on.
Yeah, I almost picked him myself, but I just couldn't do it. He's one of those guys that makes you look like an idiot sometimes.
I know. I agree. I totally agree.
A guy who does that for me sometimes is Justin Thomas, 16-1. I think the win's coming soon. He's played well here before. He should have won when JP Holmes hit him with the four corners and slow played him a few years back. So give me JT.
Shout out Carolina.
Yeah, shout out to Big Dean Smith for that one. And then I'm going with Matt Fitzpatrick, 40-1, driving the ball great. Irons are going to have to pop a little bit, but the irons have been good here. I think he likes the yardage buckets that his approach shots are coming in from. So 40-1 there. And that's not all. We got best bets on deck. Josh, can you put up the screen? We are leaking oil. I'm not sure if this accounted for the Pebble Beach 54 holes. So I'm just going to say there's an asterisk as long as these are red. But Josh gives us $50 extra to put on our favorite bet of the week. Mark, you're doing a nationality play. Tell the listeners what you got.
I need to get a win desperately. 0-4. I'm going with Ludvig Åberg as the top Scandinavian. They're three in the field. The other one's Victor Hovland. I can't recall the third right now, so you can help me out there.
Højgaard?
Højgaard, yeah. So here's the thing about Ludvig. It just doesn't look like there's a golf course that this guy can't play. Yeah. And the harder they get, the more he just tends to want to shine. And so he drives the ball great, which is a major part of the examination around this golf course. He's a dynamite iron player, and he just looks like he's got this presence about him where he doesn't get too phased. So I have a feeling he's going to contend. So I think Ludvig is the top Scandinavian this week.
The top Scandic himself. KP, you are stacking a pick. What do you have?
Yeah, I've got Adam Scott top 20. I've been getting a little crazy with my best bet recently. I've been walking in Patrick's footsteps, so I try to keep it more low-key. And I was so mad last week when I had JT and Scheffler to finish in the top 10 at plus 300, and JT finished a stroke outside of the top 10. Scheffler almost won the event, obviously, but Adam Scott top 20 seems like very reasonable. Just need to get back on the board. Need to get some momentum going the other way.
Yeah, need to see the ball go through the hoop.
Yes.
As the king of the parlay corner, both literally and figuratively, I can tell you it's been a dark month. But I guess I'm kind of stealing your bet from last week, and I'm going Scotty Scheffler, Justin Thomas, top 20.
Okay.
At plus 115.
That would have hit.
I mean, Scheffler, that's like free money, it feels like. And then JT, I think he's in for a great week. So that is what I'm rolling with. But that is not all. We have
Scheffler, by the way, has one finish outside the top 25 in his last 27 starts. One.
Yeah.
It's Tiger Risk. It's Tiger Risk without all the wins.
It's crazy.
I think you just got to pair that with whatever.
Yeah. I mean, truly.
But that's not all. We got the highly controversial, highly I'm blanking on the word right now. Decorated. Sure. We'll go with that. One and done. Josh, reveal the picks. Wow. Incredible. Take it in. Soak it in. Let's start from the bottom up. We've got first, let's give a shout out to the big boy team leading the way with 5 million in the listener league. Okay, Boomer. Pat Sullivan at 4.5. You're obviously not a golfer at 4 million. And Grant at 3.84. Fellas, like, we are.
I feel like any of those could be your team name, Patrick.
They all are. They all are.
Big boy.
We are worlds behind them. Worlds. But 4 million, not 3.6. 4 million to the winner.
It's a big one.
This week. Mark at $6,400. Who are you going with?
Well, first off, I had my arithmetic wrong because I thought I was closer to Josh. But anyhow, Justin Thomas let me down last week. I figured I was in for a good weekend. Then he stumbled Saturday, Sunday, which was disappointing. So I decided I got to try and go alternate to my plan. And last couple of years, I've gone with Homer at this event, and it's turned out great. But I figured someone else was going to go with him, so I didn't. But I went with another Californian. That's my theme on Poanio, and I feel like Morikawa sort of fits the bill. I had him here in the final group last year. He finished in a tie for sixth, missing a whole bunch of putts. But he seems to be putting better this year. So, Colin, it's time, buddy. It's time. This is a big purse. Let's get some work done so I can get back to the other side of the leaderboard, please.
Lone wolfing it with Colin Morikawa. He's one of two lone wolves. Greg is the other one with Adam Scott at 1.1 million. Sandwiched in between them is myself at 932 with Justin Thomas. I think this is the week he wins. This would be the week. Normally I'd be to the top of the one and done, but unfortunately producer Josh, who's leading the way for us at 1.8, also has Justin Thomas at his heels though. In second and third, KP and Rick, both at 1.2. Kyle, why don't you tell the viewers who you both have?
Well, biggest purse of the year for first place, and we're picking the best golfer in the world.
Is Scotty it more Scheffler. Than the players? Won't be more than the players. Go on.
Well, thus far, I don't know what the players' first place is. A little over four, probably.
Yeah,
I was four or five last year.
I'm telling you right now, I'm using Scheffler at the players. Come on.
I was going to do that too.
yeah, maybe I should have done that as well, but. I've got him this week. I there's a little concern here, Patrick, because, you know, this was one of his bad starts in 2023. He finished T12, which it sounds ridiculous, but that's one of his worst finishes on the year. And I think there's obviously putting concerns and all kinds of stuff. But man, I mean, talk about ball striker and ball strikers course married together. And that's what this is. So I'm excited about it. I feel confident that he's going to be in the mix. I just don't know if he's going to end up winning.
Yeah. I think it's a good pick, right? Scottie Scheffler is never a bad pick. And you look at the golf courses he's won on, you'd think Riviera would be one of them as well. All right. So that is Colin Morikawa for Mark at 6,400. Justin Thomas for myself and leader Josh, who's at 1.9. Adam Scott for Greg at 1.1. Scotty Scheffler for both Rick and Kyle, who are both at 1.2, with Rick just eking it out over KP. Gentlemen, you guys got anything else before the Genesis Invitational kicks off in a couple days?
That's it.
Sounds like no. We've talked enough. Sunday. Red.
Black. That's Thursday black over there.
Thursday black. You would think they'd like dip into like Monday blues or something like that.
that's good. I see where you're going.
Yeah, there's plenty of wordplay. Sunday there's, dread.
There's,
when he's not there.
There's too much going on here. Like the tie, just leave it at the logo. Don't, I don't need the writing on the shoulder, and
it's hip.
The pants are bad. I don't know.
It's hip. His shoes look like a TaylorMade driver, carbon something.
But the pants are classic Tiger. Remember back in the day, the pleats and the baggy look and the,
yeah,
no, that's Tiger over there. Those are the kind of pants he wears. Yeah.
No, you're right.
I'm with you on the shirt. Yeah, it's a weird dichotomy because the shirt looks kind of athletic and like he belongs in a gym, and then you got these baggy pants. Nah, not doing it.
Yeah, hopefully he brings out the mock. All will be forgiven if the mock returns this weekend. I will take back everything I said, and the cashmere hoodie, which no one in the golf apparel business is doing. Tiger Woods, an innovator, like always. Gentlemen, that is all we have for Mark Immelman at Mark_Immelman. For Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. I'm Patrick McDonald at P McDonald CBS. This was your Tuesday pod and your Genesis Invitational preview. We will catch you guys next time.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.